Hello, beloved listeners, and welcome to an hour of Advanced Living Radio. This is Kenneth Lesser, thrilled and delighted to be your host today. Oh, yes. And you know, each week we bring you some real fun and adventure and just things to make your life better. And this is the answer to a daily prayer that I've put together as I've contemplated, like I think most of us do, better lives, a better world. And my prayer goes like this. Heavenly Father, Divine Mother, show me the best ways to have the most fun inspiring the largest number of people to easily, naturally, joyously experience vibrantly, exquisitely, healthy, wealthy, passionate living in the shortest amount of time with the least intrusion into their lives so we can all get our needs met and celebrate a global loving community that works for everyone. Yes, yes, yes. So that's my guiding light, and if you like it, use it. If you want to modify it so you like it better, feel free. This is a creative world that we live in, and I want you to find some things that inspire you. So that's a prayer that moves me. And as we get into our show today, I want to take a moment to thank our sponsor, the Comfort Technology. And some tongue-in-cheek call it a Clark Kent clock with superpowers. Because when you look at the Comfort Technology, it looks like a stylish digital clock you'd see on a desk or nightstand or in a travel bag. And yet when you plug it in, oh my gosh, just like Clark Kent, the Superman, it creates a harmonized, coherent energy that is like having the Dalai Lama show up and meditate in your room. And that's pretty nice. The net effect, if you think about our high-tech electric world with all the electromagnetic chaos and the radio frequency stuff of cell phones and Wi-Fi and smart meters, not good for the human condition. Makes it hard on us. So check out the Comfort Technology. People like Reverend Michael Beckwith, Jack Canfield, Harvard Medical Doctor Eva Selhub, and many more find it just an indispensable positive addition to their lives. Check out Advanced, A-D-V-A-N-C-E-D, livingcomfort.com. There's some special holiday prices on there. All right. So here we are coming into a wonderful opportunity for a new revelation. And what a day we have in store for us today. How many of you have wondered from time to time something about the mystery of life, and you're out there and you're, you know, what's going on? Why this? Why that? Well, there's an amazing couple that is made up of Kim and Mark McGinnis, and they have created an amazing, amazing, beautiful movie that's called Openings, subtitle The Search for Harry. And I know some of you are out there thinking, well, is this Bigfoot or Sasquatch? No, it's not that kind of hairy. It's an amazing, amazing, beautiful movie that relates in a way to all of our lives. And we have Kim with us today to help explain some things about it. And this couple, Mark and Kim, what beautiful people. A little bit about Mark. He worked with a Fortune 500 company, and he went on to found a Hollywood-based advertising agency and developed some high-tech equipment for the magical world of video and of entertainment, and then connected with who became his wife, Kim, who's an actress, a writer, casting director, producer, and she has been participating in some of the most wonderful creative work. And of course, what she loves when it's all together, because there's so much that goes on behind the scenes, is the finished product that is such a beautiful thing. And of course, for Kim, the opportunity to explore ideas and to collaborate with other creative, like-minded people in that process, well, that is about as good as it gets. And Kim began her career in Los Angeles as an actress, and after doing a string of equity waiver productions and appeared in various movies and national TV commercials, she wrote and produced and performed her own one-woman show, From Chaos to Comedy. And this got things rolling, and she decided to go back to school and work towards getting a master's degree. And later, a series of synergistic events led Kim to meet Mark, who at the time had launched a manufacturing business, and that was the selling electronic fireflies. We'll find out about those. And she invested in the business and in Mark, and they became partners in business and, of course, even more, partners in life. And then this partnership, you say, well, what could happen? Well, when you get a chance and learn more about this movie, talk about giving birth to things. We think of, well, children, and of course, there's human children, and then there's some people that are so amazing. They don't just rock the cradle of children, they rock the cradle of humanity, the cradle of the world. And this movie that they've done, Openings, The Search for Harry, when you see it, oh, there's parts of that you will feel so held, so nurtured, so loved and inspired. So this was certainly, I mean, if this is some of the stuff they can do in their marriage, oh boy, folks, keep them happy, keep them together. We're in for a lot more treats. So let us bring on Kim and get the show started. Hello, hello.
Well, hi, Ken. Thank you for having me.
It's a great pleasure. Would you please help us to learn about the film, you know, like where it got shot, what helped pull the idea together?
Well, the film had quite a rich history behind it. It actually started out as something different and kind of evolved as it went along. Maybe I should start there. We started with a different partner, and we were going to make a movie based upon some true life stories that had happened to some people we knew, stories of transformation. And we were taking these individual stories. We had about 10 of them. And these were people, you know, that had the practice of contemplating or meditating, and they received inner guidance, and they had transformation by listening and trusting that those messages they were getting. The partner that we had at the time was the we were telling his story as a thread story to hold all the other stories together.
Hmm.
But we knew kind of from the beginning that he wasn't quite the right partner for us. But we had made a agreement with this gentleman, and we went through. But one thing that happened through the making of the film that kind of underlined our feelings was a scene that we were doing with with our partner. It was a scene in a classroom, and the name of the film at that time was called Shamshara. There's a whole other story to that, but anyway, it was the S-H-A-R-A, Shamshara, S-H-A-M-S-H-A-R-A. And he was standing, he wrote this on the blackboard, and then he stood in front of the blackboard so that only the word sham showed. Mm. And when my partner and I watched it back, we both got goosebumps, like, it kind of, it's like, oh, no, mm. No, we know that, but this is just a reminder. But again, we were contractually bound to work with his partner, and we were actually almost done at that point with the film.
Mm.
And we showed it at this theater, and a bunch of people came. It was kind of a focus group, kind of right before the big rollout. And so at the end of the showing, our partner comes up to us, and he revealed that he had a really bad bike accident right before the showing. And he said he had an epiphany that he wanted to drop out of the movie. So we're like, oh, okay. So this was really quite sudden, and the fact that the film was almost done was kind of shocking to us. So he says, you know, I'm going to give you, do whatever you want to with the footage, just take the parts that I am in out, and, you know, do what you need to do to make it your own movie. So he was in about half the movie. So we took what we had, and that kind of restarted the process of making the movie that is opening The Search for Harry. And I mention all that just because everything that's happened up until the point where the movie was just released falls within the theme of the movie, which is expect the unexpected, miracles can happen, you know, and just listen for signs and listen to your gut. And, you know, and then if you follow through and have perseverance, you know, and have a really good intention in mind the whole time, something amazing will happen. So, you know, that was probably two and a half, three years ago. And today, since then, we wrote another thread story, which was the Harry story, which is a fictional story based upon some things that happened in Mark's life and a little bit of my life. But we chose the Harry character kind of as an everyman or every woman, every human who struggles and finds himself in a point in life where, you know, it's not where you want to be and you're not sure how to get out of it. You're kind of blaming the world at that point. But then things happen. Your guard's down a little bit. You become vulnerable in certain moments. And you slowly creep out of that, crawl out of it. And the more you open, the more open you are and allow things in, and you allow yourself to respond to them in a positive way, you know, before you know it, you're in a pretty cool place. So we wrote this story. We worked with a local writer here in Colorado, Pamela Cumming, who's a really phenomenal writer. And then we had these reenactments, which we didn't wind up using, because then we had all these other interviewees, kind of leaders in the new thought, spiritual genre, kind of come forward. I mean, it's not less than we were seeking them out, and then they got to the surface and found out about the film. People like Joe Vitale, who was in The Secret, Amit Goswami, who was in What the Bleep Do We Know, Bruce Lipton, who wrote a best-selling book called The Biology of Belief. He's a leader in crossing spirituality and science. So we have all these great interviewees, and then the Harry story. So part of the Harry story, like I said, is based upon some true events that happened to Mark and I. And one of those true events and real people that are in the movie is a camp for kids with cancer called Nighthawk Ranch.
Oh.
And I was actually their coordinator all of last year. It was their first year. So they allowed us into their home. They had this beautiful place up in Guffey, Colorado. And I don't, probably a lot of people don't know where Guffey is, but it's up in the mountains. It's about 60, 70 miles west of Colorado Springs.
Oh, okay. That helps,
helps
for people
a
to kind of get a little bit of their bearings about where Guffey would be.
Yeah, it's very remote. The town itself probably has about 25 people. Tom, who owns Nighthawk, says the mayor is a cat. So that gives you an idea of how small it is. But they built this beautiful place with the intention of having a camp for kids with cancer. We got to know them. My husband had done a video for the owner's other business. So they had this like 10,000 square foot beautiful log cabin. It's just amazing to look at, and you can see it all throughout the film. And it was November last year. It was very cold, very windy. So some of the shoots were really grueling. So my hat's off to the actors and the crew.
Yeah.
But it kind of added the wind and the weather was actually, it was almost like a character too in the movie, because it, I think any kind of, anywhere there's conflict, I think when you get to the other side of that, you learn that much more and you come out a deeper person. So I think it was something I think we all felt like we really got through.
I mean, if you contrast being on a beach in the Cayman Islands or in Hawaii, and they're serving whatever it is, mojitos or pina coladas,
right.
And it doesn't evoke someone to think of the adversity of life.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, there were scenes where, one of the characters falls down a mine shaft, and there were all these open mines up there on the property. We created the illusion that it was deeper than it was, but Mark was down there on his back and on the bottom of the mine shaft shooting up towards the actor.
Oh.
But, there, you know, it was a really cool experience, and Tom and Dorothy, who owned the ranch, were really grateful to them for letting us into their lives and filming up there. You know, and as a side note, when I was coordinating with them, this was kind of happening simultaneously. They had their first successful year. They had three full camps, and it's something they had been trying to accomplish for about 10 years, so we were able to help them. And none of it's really an accident, us meeting them and helping them get started and then helping us create this beautiful movie. I think the energy when there's good intentions behind something, it really shows through. And then things like the interviewees and editing, people that do editing are attracted to the film to help get it done. It's just, I don't know, I think probably a lot of people don't realize the amount, how hard it is to get, like, a feature film done. And it just takes so many people. And I think we were guided a lot. And I think a lot of people were attracted to the project to really help us. So many people involved. So the film is about, like I said, the journey of opening up and finding hope and seeing that it's not about making a ton of money. It's really about relationships, and it's about making connections, first of all, with yourself.
Ah, what a nice place to start.
It's a good place to start, absolutely. I mean, the search for Harry is the search for Ken or the search for Kim. It's about, you know, finding that connection first, and then, you know, maybe you can make some other connections along the way.
Yeah. No matter where I go, I'm always there.
All right. It's like, who is that guy?
and then, of course, taking time to discover Michael Jackson's beautiful song that actually was written by one of the beautiful singers of the Agape Church in L.A., Nikki
Man
Harris.
In the
The Man in the Mirror. And of course, you know, woman in the mirror, person in the mirror, as we form that relationship. And I'd love just some of the elements that have come into the movie, because it's a whole blend of different things. I mean, you know, I don't know how much we should, you know, discuss. I mean, to me, relationships are in turmoil for most people at some level. There's very few outstanding relationships. Two statistics, 50% of the marriages end in divorces, mm-hmm. and of that other 50%, within 10 years, one in 10 of those is happily married.
Right.
So, you know, so if you say how many people are really involved in this thing of marriage and family in a way that is bringing them joy, it's a small group. So you've picked an amazing way to bring this together.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's for Mark and I, it's we're always trying to be aware of where we're going off track. And, you know, we go off track sometimes every day, sometimes several times a day. But it's just a process. And, you know, when we have some successes, you know, we just try to, you know, remember to stay humble and be grateful. And, you know, I think that's kind of a universal thing. All these lessons are universal for most people. But a big part of the theme of the movie, which is something that came up in the making of the movie, is listening and being aware of signs and being aware of the messages that are saying, oh, you are a little off track, or this is just a reminder that you really should listen to your gut, because you're right. Yeah, that partner wasn't right for you. You know, this isn't the movie that you want to release. or whatever situation you're in. I think that these signs, these messages are in front of us all the time. I think it's just a matter of tuning in, and that's a big part of what the movie's about.
To me, as we get started with it, you know, what was interesting is here's this guy, Harry, who's in the midst of he's finished a divorce recently, mm-hmm. and is pretty bummed out about it. He's real in a lot of pain, and you show some stuff about that, and then one of his breakthroughs is that a homeless guy or someone that he encounters randomly while he's sitting on a park bench.
Yeah, there's an element to this movie that's kind of otherworldly, and we don't really blatantly explain it. It's kind of up to the audience's imagination.
Okay, take it as you will.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's kind of a big sign or a big message for Harry, and the bum gives Harry something. He takes it in his pocket and says, you know, here, take this. I got plenty. You could use it. So there's some symbolism there, and the thing, the coin and the locket that he gives Harry is like comes up again and again. But they're a reminder that there is something more to this physical world than the pain. You know, there's something mysterious that, you know, you can't really explain, but it kind of feels good to know that, you know, maybe there is something out there that if I just follow this, you know, it'll lead me somewhere that feels a little bit better. So I think he uses that. He's open enough at that point. It's like he figures, what else can I lose? And by having that attitude, taking that leap, he does wind up in a better place, you know, and that's kind of cool. And that's something that I think that a lot of people could relate to and find hope in.
And to me, what I'd like in the format that you selected, sometimes if you're watching a movie and it's the one scene into another as the plot evolves, there may not be time to pause and contemplate, because there can be certain scenes in a movie and you watch that and you go, oh my gosh, and then the next thing you know, the movie's going on and you don't have a time. And sweet Jesus or Buddha or Krishna, pick your name, put it in there, sweet spiritual essence, you've interwoven a pause place where some people come in and they have something to say, and it gives pause for us to contemplate.
Yeah. And, you know, our hope is that they're saying things that haven't, you know, some of the messages have been heard in other movies like The Secret or What the Bleep Maybe, but I think our movie, it's more real. It's not promising to give you riches or whatever. It's kind of an everyday journey that I think a lot of people are going through. And that's what I love about the movie. Mm-hmm. I think it's something that everybody can relate to. And the people are experts in their field. They're not just, you know, I think they're very insightful. A lot of them are best-selling authors or, you know, they're scientists. They've written books that have sold millions, or they're speakers. I think that it's kind of nice watching the movie. Like you said, it gives the viewer the chance to dig deep into the meaning of what's being shown to them.
And yeah, for them personally.
Yeah,
I mean, it's one thing to watch a movie and then describe details to other people and other people discussing how the movie went and they like this character or that character. I mean, certainly we can, you know, do those reviews and have discussions about a movie or a book, but with your format, it's there and would stimulate people to say, well, how did that relate to your life?
Mm-hmm.
Versus how are you about Harry doing this or that?
Right. Yeah, and it's like everyday things, too. I mean, it's a similar format. The only other movie I can think of is What the Bleep Do We Know. The Secret was different in that there wasn't a thread story. But I think that this movie is more about the average person and what they go through every day, their struggles.
Yeah, well, movie certainly had a thread story and was heavily involved with some very deep spiritual quantum physics interactions in both the movie plot as well as the speakers. And for a lot of folks, when our economy's hurting and people are trying to figure out to get food on the table or heal some discord that they're dealing with in who knows what areas of their life, getting good at understanding some quantum physics principles may not be in their top 10 list of things.
No, it was very, I mean, I love the movie and I appreciate it. It was groundbreaking.
Yeah.
But it was a little heavy, heavy on science. That's what I love about our movie. Of course, I love it, but I'm
to
a little
this
quiet.
Day, you mean after? You mean so? There's been no postpartum depression for you as you've given birth to this?
No, we're already on to the next thing. we're still involved with it, and you know, we're out there marketing it because we believe in it.
Yeah.
But we're creative people, and we just have to be working on. Where our medium is film, so we're working on our next film right now. But, I mean, some of the stories that showed up in the Harry story happened to Mark, like when Harry is looking for a job and he's following leads, even though some of the leads don't turn out. It's not about following a lead and then, oh, your life changes and everything's great. It's like you follow a lead, the job turns out not to be what you want it to be. But at least you're moving. You're moving. I think life is, if you stay static, nothing's going to change. You're just going to, you know, things are going to get worse. But if you move and you make a mistake, at least you got some energy going, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then things will come to you. And you try that and try that. It's kind of like throwing spaghetti against the wall. See what sticks. And, you know, just have fun with it. It makes life fun, and, you know, it's like it didn't work out, but then you have a story to tell your friends, and, you know. And then it creates openings for other things to come in, other opportunities, other people, you know.
Yeah, wow. To me, this is so refreshing. You know, not only Mark's life paralleling some of the stuff of Harry, like going out and looking for a job and running into something that was just really nasty, and that happens to Harry in the movie. But this idea of course, just the main title, the word openings, and it has me thinking in terms of the learning process of a child, which there's lots of mistakes, there's lots of things that don't go well, and thank goodness there's not an adult there reminding them that they should feel bad when that happens.
Mm-hmm.
Because if that happened, the kids would just have a terrible time, and learning would become a pain.
Yeah.
And so we have, thank goodness for many of us, some time in our life when we did get to explore, we did get to try things out, and if it didn't work out, so what? We just kept
right.
on going.
That's a great point. A lot of this process is getting to a fulfilling life is about becoming a kid again, you know, trying things and not being hard on yourself. Just like, it didn't work out, so what? At least you tried.
Yeah, exactly. We could start a More Guilt for Children Foundation. No, I'm kidding, folks. I'm kidding. Please, no nasty cards. There's enough of that already. It's just so nice to come back to that. And your movie explores that. Oh, I was just tingling. And I won't describe the whole thing, but I want people to go see the movie. And they can do that by doing what, by the way?
Well, it's available a couple different ways. You can go to our website, which is openings-movie.com. You can buy it directly on the website. It's also available right now on Amazon. We did make a deal, a digital deal, but with Gaim, but I think that might take a couple months for them to get that set up. But it's available on DVD immediately, like right now. We're already very grateful to announce that we're selling quite a few right now. The word is getting out. Openings-movie.com.
Wow.
And I don't know if there's a place on your website where you mention it too, but
each week we put in, and there's a link.
Okay, so you can do it that way, too.
Yeah, to openings.
And like I said, on Amazon. Everybody knows Amazon.
Yeah.
I think you do have to know the name of the movie if you go there. So it's Openings, The Search for Harry. But
And as you're talking about this, it makes me curious, because in doing the shows, I like to stay open to inspired thoughts. Which, of course, wouldn't you know it, that's a major theme of your movie.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that was of interest, and I don't know if you've thought of it or pursuing it, but to me, different organizations, whether it's the cancer group, whether it's some spiritual group, whether it's who knows what, I mean, there could be businesses, but one thing I was thinking of was, of course, doing something around some way that this becomes a fundraiser, and you work out some profit sharing with some of these different organizations.
I like the way you think. You know, that's actually something Mark and I talked about, because way that topic came up for us is we're actually writing a book about the themes of the movie, called Openings, The Bridge to Invisible Bridges and Doorways. And in our book proposal, I did a book proposal with Hay House, and they mentioned that a good way to market the book is to aligning ourselves with certain organizations. And certainly, yeah, we did think about that. You know, we've been so busy in post-production and now pre-production, and But I think it is definitely something worth exploring, and it's ultimately we want to get the movie out to spread this message, you know, and I think it can speak to a lot of people and inspire people and, you know, motivate them to, you know, follow their passion.
I think yeah.
Another
yeah.
movie. So I thanks for mentioning that. You know, maybe that's a sign for me that you mentioning that is definitely a thing to explore.
Yeah, it could be something good because I'm looking at ways that you can get the movie out there more and for people to have something as a talking point,
mm-hmm.
which has some really key important principles that are used or wanting to be used by a whole bunch of different organizations.
Yeah, I think, you know, one of my favorite interviewees in the movie is Kelly Turner. She's a PhD, and she's a researcher in the field of integrative cancer research.
Yeah.
So she explores alternate ways of healing. And the thing I like about Kelly is she didn't believe any of this stuff. She's a very scientifically oriented woman.
Mm-hmm.
And she happened to have had some extraordinary experiences in her life, like a near-death experience. But anyway, in our film, there's one part where she talks about talking to her cancer patients. And, you know, like in certain philosophies, like the law of attraction, it's about thinking positive, and that's not really what our film is about. But her cancer patients sometimes say, well, you know, I think positive thoughts, but I don't get better. And she's like, well, first of all, everybody's different. And second of all, it's not about thinking positive all the time. You know, it's about feeling what you're feeling, you know, honoring that and then letting it go, whether it's fear or shame or confusion, even happiness, she says, which was really struck me. It's like, if you're feeling happy, feel it, but then let it go. Don't try to hang on to it because then it becomes nostalgia, and that's a slippery slope and leads into sadness. You know? So I think that's a really, really good message for anyone, whether, you know, you have cancer or whether you're just going through a slight depression or just a bad time.
Yeah.
You know, give yourself permission to feel bad.
Oh boy, that is huge. And something else, I mean, exquisite choice with the her name is Kelly
Turner.
Turner. Okay, yeah. If I'm recalling correctly, at one point she makes mention that some of the things in the spiritual metaphysical community mention personal responsibility. I am mm-hmm. the source. I am creating my life. And then for her, the so beautifully put forward was the idea, well, each of us is an I at some level, an individual, and yet we have this whole group. So she talked about let's shift that focus to what we are creating, which is a reflection of our interconnectedness.
Yeah. She was saying it's not that I create my own reality. For her, it's we create our reality, because you can only do so much, but we rely on others to help us, really, you know. And they can only help us if we put something out with a pure intention, and then those that are aligned with that intention will naturally be attracted to us. So I think that's a really good point. Our interviewees have such eloquent ways of speaking on these topics. And I'm paraphrasing what she's saying, so I'm mm-hmm. not going to take credit for it. But,
sure. No.
But I think they're all incredible. Kelly just.
Yeah.
Really.
And when Harry in the movie goes through this first experience of it's like for well, I'm just thinking out loud
uh-huh.
In the world of romance. When
okay.
when someone is there and they go, oh, this could be good. This is an attraction and interest and then all kinds of projections. And so he's wanting some money so he can take care of some obligations that he has and live. And someone helps him apply for a job and move that ahead. And it's like, wow, you know, stable company and, you know, professional setting. But there's some real surprises, folks, when you watch the movie.
Right.
And
yeah, I know. It's that brings to mind one of our other interviewees, Sonia Barrett, who talks about why do you want this job? Is it for the money? Is it for the prestige? When you accept these positions and they're not what they cracked up to be, it's like, well, why did you really want this job? And if this isn't it, then how do you get to where you want to be? And, you know, there's no easy answer to any of that, but I think one of the first steps is just to allow yourself to ask the hard questions. You know, a lot of us want to shut it down because it makes life too complicated or hard, but I think one of the lessons that I learned a while back and why I wrote that one-woman show a long time ago, From Chaos to Comedy, is to have fun with it and not to take these things that happen to you so seriously. It's like, try to find humor in things, you know.
Mm.
Find the adventure there.
Okay.
But
well, that's pretty exciting. when you come to that place. Now, that show of yours, was it ever videoed? The Chaos
to
Comedy?
No, it was shown at a small setting, but it was a kind of more of a cathartic experience for me as an actress.
Yeah.
And it made me realize, you know, for a long time, you know, I thought I had this really not horrible childhood, but it was really rough, and I allowed myself to feel sorry for myself for a long time. And, you know, writing that show, the character I used was based upon myself as a child and my parents. And the more I wrote, the more I realized, you know, my situation isn't that different from a lot of other people's. And I found humor in it. The more I wrote it, I realized this is really funny. And and when I talked about my imperfect parents, it's like, you know, they taught me a really great lesson. And they didn't give me everything I wanted or even things I thought I needed, but it made me strong and self-reliant, and I know that they did the best that they could. And and then when I performed it, I was just surprised at the amount of laughs I got.
Ah.
And it was really cool for me to experience that. And soon after that, actually, I decided to give up on acting for a while.
Oh, no.
It was like I made this big breakthrough, mm-hmm. but then I went back to school.
Yeah.
And that's where I met Mark, who
the
time had his own business, and he was manufacturing magical fireflies.
Uh-huh. And who doesn't need some more of those?
I know.
Oh, my gosh.
Hey, it caught my attention.
I'm curious, and this once again may not be anything at all, but when I'm basically doing interviews or involved in my life, there's this underlying theme of one simplistic or business way would be saying adding value. At a more spiritual way, it's about revealing more of the grace or the interconnectedness or the success, because at last I heard our universe, which is incredibly huge, is moving on just pretty darn nicely. I mean, this thing more vast than anyone can ever comprehend, and this whole huge thing is doing just fine.
Yeah.
Wow. So anyway, to connect with you about your Chaos to Comedy, what I'm getting is that in the structure of that, it could be something, and I was visioning some children but not just children, but somehow they came up first, expressing their experience of life and using your model to bring some more humor or to put it in a different perspective. The comedy is not as much as an end game, as to me, as much as expanding one's flexibility and an ability to view it from a more benign or more benevolent perspective. And that could be humorous.
So yeah,
anyway,
I mean,
that's weird thought number two here.
It's for me, it was like writing everything down, and then like the more detailed I got, the humor just kind of popped out naturally. It's very hard to explain, but I think everybody, every single human being is creative. You know, we were created and we are creative. And I think when we allow ourselves the time and space to be creative, whether it's writing or acting or singing, I think that's when magic can happen. And that's where people lose the bitterness and humor emerges or tears emerge, and which gets you to the humor. And I think children are naturally good at that, you know, even though parents may stifle it sometimes, unless they have really great parents.
Yeah, we're actually training some better parents.
Yeah,
that's pretty exciting.
I think so. I feel good about that. but yeah, no, I think the whole creative process is just very healing and wonderful and fun, and I would encourage anyone to, you know, to do something creative, and I think it's just a wonderful gift.
Yeah, yeah. And is any of this stuff that you did written down?
You know, I wrote it down, and then I think I lost it. Are you talking about my one-woman show?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I was at a time where I did it and it felt great, but I wanted to move on from it.
Sure, I understand. There's value in being able to look at something and then come to a place of being more resourceful about it, and that's what you did, and I just want to acknowledge you for that.
Thank you. Yeah, it's funny. It's like once I let it go, you know, and then I went back to school after the show, it came full circle. I met Mark. We decided to make movies. you know, I did a few things in L.A., but, you know, to be honest, it was brutal out there, and I was a lot younger and probably not as tough as I needed to be. But now my husband's a filmmaker. I'm a producer, so we're making our own stuff, and I can, you know, have these roles in the movie as well as produce them and help him write. So it's, I think there is something to bringing stuff in, giving it all you got, and then letting it go. And if the universe wants you to have it back or something better, then it's naturally come back.
Yeah. Your work with is Nighthawk, is that the name?
Nighthawk Ranch.
Yeah, Nighthawk Ranch and the kids with cancer and stuff. And then you making mention of when you did that one-woman show in Hollywood it's like the biggest, toughest, ultimate fighting, acting, entertainment arena.
Yeah.
As I was thinking about that in the work you and Mark are doing and then Nighthawk, I love intertwining things because at some level, since it's all energy, everything is interconnected if we make that assumption. It may not be, you know, because we thought the world was flat, but if I go on that assumption for the moment, then the work with the kids at the cancer at the Nighthawk Ranch, the term self-love warriors comes to mind.
Hmm.
Because that's about you being tough enough to make it in that adverse arena and the kids being tough enough to stand strong in the midst of whatever is going on that says underneath all this terrible, whatever, disease condition, I can still love myself, and it is something that I have to claim.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't just happen. It's like standing at a refrigerator going into a restaurant and being very hungry, and the waiter comes up and says, "What do you want?" and you never answer him. You stay hungry.
That's an interesting analogy, yeah.
So
yeah.
Being strong enough to claim that love, which will heal.
Right.
Anyway.
Yeah, I mean, Tom and Dorothy created this place that they just wanted to give these kids confidence that, you know, they're not less than. They can do just as much as a kid that doesn't have cancer, you know,
mm-hmm.
that doesn't have who don't have the challenges that they do. And I think they succeeded.
Yeah.
I know they'll go on and on in years to come. Yeah. And I know there's a lot of great camps out there that do the same thing. I was lucky enough, Mark and I were lucky enough to meet them. And
sure.
There's a lot of good stuff going on out there. You know,
yeah.
In the news you hear about all the bad stuff, but there's a lot of good stuff.
Right. And that's what's exciting is that within the microcosm of your movie, of the Nighthawk Ranch, there's some huge gems. And then other people are going to want to model those when it turns out, look at these kids getting better.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then not only, so it may start off as, you know, treatment for kids, but since we're all still a loving child at some point within ourselves, it's there if we take long enough to look for it. This all this stuff can be expanded to literally life lessons, and if it's not taught in school, connect with the Khan Academy.
Mm-hmm.
You know of them, right?
The Khan Academy, remind me?
Khan Academy, they're out of Northern California, and it's a online, free, grounded education.
Okay.
For anyone in the world. I mean, math, science, on and on.
Wow.
And this is available, and this is one of the places that they teach things of a grounded nature. And, of course, some of the other things that aren't taught me that are important to teach are relate to art. And what's so important about art is creativity, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, isn't that fun how all this ties together?
It is fun,
so,
and it does all tie together. You
yes.
know, I think beyond what we can even fathom.
Exactly. Wow, Kim, I feel like we're just getting started, and we've pretty much gone through the time we have for our show today.
Oh, that went quick.
I know. We distort time when it's so exquisitely fun.
Yeah.
This is good. Well, I will keep in touch, and we will keep track with you and Mark, because I'm sure you're going to have more to share with me, with my listeners, with a whole lot of other people out there.
Oh, definitely. I would love to anytime. It's been such a pleasure to talk to you.
Well, thank you. Thank you. You as well. Give my regards to Mark, and we'll be in contact soon. And to you, to my beloved listeners, check out the wonderful movie, www.openings-movie.com. And until we meet again, God bless, and goodbye for now. Let go and let God.